They will bow and prostrate before the gold and silver.
Yeah.
These people will remain in a state of perpetual confusion and spiritual drunkenness, adhering neither to the faith of Islam nor to the creed of Christianity. Mm-hmm. So, when we are talking about religion, we are not specifically talking about some. Even those who have been practicing Christianity are, mm-hmm. Are not practicing in the right way that they were expecting. They were expected.
And in
this hadith, it says that the women are looked as their qibla. Mm-hmm. What does it mean when it says that the women are looked as their qibla? Qibla is something that we prostrate in front of it.
Yeah.
So when, they leave everything for their families, for their wives, and they ignore others. This is one meaning of it. So we have to be careful.
And unfortunately, in a world where the women was objectified and has become a source of income for the materialists.
Yeah, very true.
So could be relatable.
We see this situation to some extent that the women are looked as objects. As a material object rather than being a sacred entity, while we have received lots of news and lots of traditions that ladies should be like a flower. The ladies are not asked, for example, to perform jihad. Because the kind of jihad they do is at home. The kind of jihad is to bring up a good and, let's say, righteous kid.
Yeah. And also to be obedient to the husbands is another level of jihad. Thank you so much, Dr. Levy, for being with us. Thank you so much for all those valuable insights. Thank you, dear listeners. You were listening to IRIB English Radio. Until another episode, take good care. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Where is the rising
sun? Where is the spring of life? Where is the shining moon? Where is the firmest glow?
It's your turn. I'm getting Welcome back, dear listeners. It's good to have you with us once again here on Iran Radio. As we move forward with today's programming, we invite you to stay with us for a series of thoughtful and enriching segments we've prepared for you. Here's that still to come on your station. To begin, we present Spring of Truth, a program that offers a reflective connection to the roots of the Islamic Revolution. This program features English translation of selected statements and speeches from the founding father of the Islamic Revolution, Imam Khomeini, may God bless his soul, delivered on various occasions. After that, we bring you Iran Today. If you're looking to stay informed about the current developments within the Islamic Republic, whether in science, technology, the economy, or key national initiatives, this program provides a concise and informative overview of what's happening across the country. Following that, we turn to Minbar, a program that shares insightful excerpts from the sermons and talks of prominent Islamic scholars, covering themes such as ethics, theology, Quranic exegesis, Islamic history, and occasionally contemporary social and political matters. Minbar offers listeners a rich space of contemplation and learning. Then we'll join the panel in Quran Quest, a roundtable discussion addressing your questions about the Holy Quran. With clarity and care, our panelists respond to inquiries received via phone and online platforms, offering guidance and resolving uncertainties about the meanings and messages of the sacred book. Up next, Spring of Truth. We invite you to stay with us.
این چیزی که انسان را مطمئن می‌کند، ذکر خداست. ذکر الله تطمئن القلوب.
Be aware, the hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
Spring of Truth.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. You are listening to the Spring of Truth, and I'm Muhammad Liaqat Abbas, your host, and I'm going to present you a beautiful and a very powerful quote from Imam Khomeini. Imam Khomeini says, "We can invite people to the right path with gentle words, a soft pen, with advice, and with friendship, just like the prophets did." Over here, we see a beautiful side of the religion of Islam where the Imam has lived this life. The Imam used to invite people to the right path with his beautiful words, with his soft pen, meaning he used to write a lot of books. And we have known a lot of his books, the likes of Adab al-Salah, example, the likes of Jahil Hadith, that is the 40 Hadith, which is a very famous book, even the Urafa, even the spiritual guides, the mystic scholars take a lot of benefit from his books. With advice and his friendship was well known. The way he used to play with children is well known. And just like the prophets did. The prophets used to be very kind to people. The prophets used only gentle words. They were never harsh with the people. They would advise people with utmost friendship. The quality of our prophet, which is very famous, he was called Rahmatulil Alameen. The mercy to the existence, I would say. Alameen is the world. Of course, the whole existence treat him as a merciful being. So, if we look at the verse of the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "And speak to people with gentle speech, and perhaps he may be reminded or fear." So, over here, it's not necessary that if you want to make a person fearful or give him a warning, it's not necessary that you speak to him in harsh words or you speak to him in a way that he gets frightened. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, speak to people with gentle speech. So you can speak to people with gentleness and make them understand about the dangers of the hereafter, about the dangers of sins, of bad deeds. And another hadith says, gentleness does not enter anything except that it beautifies it. So it is going to beautify a person. If you are gentle, you are going to first beautify yourself.
Ya Rabbana, salli ala Taha al-Nabi wa alihi.
There's no force in the religion, but through patient, respectful dialogue and leading by example, you can plant a seed of truth that may one day blossom. So it's not necessary that you tell the opposite person to become Muslim straight away. No, you can speak to him in gentle words. This is actually what the Prophet used to do. He used to be gentle with the people. He used to speak to them with kind words. He used to smile at them when he used to look at them. These were the beautiful akhlaq. These were the beautiful conducts and manners of the Prophet that attracted people to the religion of Islam. It was not his teachings. It was his conduct. It was his way of speaking. It was his way of looking. So this is a beautiful quote from the Imam, Imam Khomeini, where he says, invite people to the right path, that is the path of Islam, through your gentle words, through your advice and friendship. And just like the prophets, and I would definitely add over here, even the imams used to be like this. The imams were too kind. The strongest argument is not a shout, but a whisper that reaches the heart. True guidance is an act of compassion, not winning souls with the warmth of wisdom, not the force of fury.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
There was a spring of truth, a selection of Imam Khomeini's viewpoints.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Eight-year defensive Iranian combatants.
A senior Iranian lawmaker has said,
contrary to Washington's claims, America's
President Raisi has emphasized that
U.S. sanctions have failed to extract concessions from Tehran.
Iran Today.
Iran, a place whose story is far more complex than the headlines suggest. Over the past four decades, the country has quietly engineered one of the most dramatic transformations in public health anywhere in the world. In 1979, life expectancy in Iran was just 56 years. Today, it stands at 75, a 19-year leap. For comparison, during the same period, life expectancy in the United States rose only 3 years, and in France, 8. The numbers tell a story of rapid, determined progress, built on investment in healthcare, expanded insurance coverage, and a national push for better medical services. It's an undeniable sign of Iran's progress and capabilities in the medical field. One of the clearest indicators of a nation's health is maternal and infant mortality. Following the victory of the Islamic Revolution, as access to clinics and trained medical staff increased, Iran saw maternal deaths fall to 20 per 100,000 live births. That's less than 1% of the global rate, which stands at roughly 200 per 100,000. Specialists in obstetrics and gynecology call it one of the country's quiet medical revolutions.
Still, some critics abroad often claim that Iran is a country that is defined only by its drones and missiles. But a deeper look inside the country's scientific institutions paints a very different picture.
Mr. Mohammad Reza Kompani, CEO of a high-tech medical equipment company, outlined how Iran's medical equipment sector has expanded since the victory of the Islamic Revolution.
The medical equipment of Iran has actually been started from the revolution, after the revolution. Before that, we had only the furnitures and such things and autoclave for sterilization of the goods. But after that, about 10 years after the revolution, right after the ending the war, the medical equipment started the industry in Iran. And now, which I'm here, we have about 85% of the items are required to be used in the hospitals. I'm talking about the devices, because in medical equipment, we have two parts, the devices and the sundries and the disposables we used in the hospitals. So in the medical equipment, the devices, 85% of the hospitals are doing the equipping by the Ministry of Health are provided from the local manufacturers. It's the, as you see here, it's the operation room, the ICU, CCU, the dialysis section, the emergency, and the general hospital.
Iran's global ranking in science and research has climbed to 15th. 65 Iranian universities are now counted among the world's top institutions, 22 of them in medical sciences. Many cancers once considered fatal in Iran are now routinely treatable. 97% of the medicines Iranians use are produced inside the country. And through advanced transplants from cord blood to bone marrow, Iranian physicians now treat more than 70 diseases that once required travel abroad. In an interview with us, Iranian scientist Sepide Mirzayev Arzaghani, a Mustafa Prize laureate for scientists under 40 and a leading researcher in cancer drug resistance, highlighted Iran's giant leap in advanced therapeutic technologies, particularly in the field of gene therapy.
با دانشی که داریم و اینکه در حوزه زیست پزشکی ما امروز در دنیا حرف برای گفتن داریم و
With the expertise we have today, Iran has a real voice in the global biomedical arena. We've made significant progress in advanced therapeutic technologies, especially gene therapy. If there is sustained targeted investment, Iran can definitely become a regional hub for cancer research and cancer treatment.
Four decades ago, Iran ranked 39th in global scientific output. Today, it's 18th. In medical sciences alone, Iran has climbed from 38th to 10th worldwide. The country is among the five global leaders in advanced stem cell science, second in the world in bone marrow transplantation, and among the top 10 nations in nanotechnology, biotechnology, and infertility treatment. In biotechnology, Iran is now one of only three nations producing a wide portfolio of high-tech biopharmaceuticals, including the hepatitis B vaccine, erythropoietin, multiple interferons, streptokinase, GCSF, and others. And for more than 20 years, Iran has practiced clinical cell therapy, an area where many countries remain stuck in the research stage. Stem cells are now used in corneal, cardiac, skin, and other transplants across Iranian hospitals. Ms. Mirzayi also explained how her research on drug resistance in cancer led to her receiving the Mostafa Prize. The Mostafa Prize, founded in 2012, is considered one of the most prestigious science and technology awards in the Islamic world.
Can you please tell us more about your research that resulted in you receiving the Young Scientist Mostafa Prize?
پژوهش‌هایی که من انجام دادم و در واقع منجر شد به دریافت این جایزه ارزشمند.
My research, which led to this valuable award, focuses on drug resistance in cancer. I study the role of intercellular signaling pathways that cause cancer cells to become resistant to chemotherapy. These molecular pathways inside the cell play a crucial role. After several treatment cycles, they can make the patient's body less responsive to anti-cancer drugs and reduce the sensitivity of cancer cells therapy. What we're trying to do is to identify and regulate these signaling pathways. Cancer cells can activate certain pathways that, in turn, lower their sensitivity to treatment. By mapping and modulating these pathways, we aim to reduce drug resistance and restore or even increase the responsiveness of cancer cells to anti-cancer drugs.
Education has played a major part in this transformation. Iran now has nearly 70 medical universities and faculties, staffed by 22,000 faculty members.
The country's medical system hosts about 270,000 domestic students and 7,000 international students. Researchers in these institutions have authored more than 60,000 conference papers, 81,000 journal articles, and over 258,000 papers published internationally. 25 Iranian medical universities have been included in the Leiden Ranking 2025, with Tehran, Shahid Beheshti, Tabriz, Shiraz, and Iran University of Medical Sciences ranking below 500 globally. Women's enrollment in universities has also increased, and women now make up 50% of students and faculty, an important accomplishment. Many of these graduates have achieved prominent national and international positions.
Iran's push for scientific independence shows up in its pharmaceutical sector as well. For instance, 99% of medications are produced domestically.
Iran also produces 40% of its medical equipment and requires no outside technical assistance for the development of pharmaceutical formulations, something the country demonstrated during the Iran-Iraq War, the COVID-19 pandemic, and other crises. From 35 dependency-heavy drug companies in 1979, Iran has grown to more than 200 domestic pharmaceutical manufacturers today. Mr. Kompany also described how Iran weathered the COVID-19 pandemic using medical equipment supplied by domestic knowledge-based companies.
I'm telling you that for the rest of the products and the items which we have not produced yet, many science-based companies, which among of the 400 are working on them, and I will promise you in about 2 or 3 next year we will have them as well. So there is no worry about the medical equipment, as we didn't have any problem during the corona. You see, in corona we actually expend 6,000 ICU beds for the corona patients. So this means that we had the knowledge, we had the technology, we had the units, and all of them prevent us to choose the patients from the age and etc. to take it to the ICU. So every patient which needed to go to ICU, freely they could go. Then they hadn't had any problem. So Corona was the one among the 10 to 15 countries in the world which has no problem. Iran was one of them.
Iran now ranks first in Asia in the production of recombinant medicines, drugs used to treat cancers, MS, hemophilia, and viral illnesses. Vaccination coverage for children under 5 has risen from 20% before 1979 to full nationwide coverage, even in remote villages. Iran has produced key pharmaceutical raw materials for treatments of pulmonary hypertension, coagulation disorders, and chemotherapy. It has introduced the first nanotechnology-based injectable anti-cancer drug, Sinadoxazom, among a long list of other high-tech drugs. Iran is now one of the world's top three producers of radiopharmaceuticals, about 70 varieties. These supply 230 treatment centers and 6,500 nuclear medicine units inside Iran and are exported to 15 countries, generating roughly $70 million annually. The only remaining imports are certain raw isotopes, mainly from Russia. Ms. Mirzayi also explained how combination therapies can ultimately help increase hope and survival prospects for cancer patients.
What are some of the practical and clinical applications of your research regarding the diagnosis or treatment of cancer in the near future?
اینها جزء درمان‌های در واقع درمان‌هایی که ترکیبی هستن و طراحی داروهایی که
These are part of what we call combination therapies and gene-based drug designs. Treatments that combine conventional anti-cancer drugs with genetic components. They can be highly effective in preventing and overcoming drug resistance, which is one of the biggest challenges in cancer treatment. We also focus on targeting personalized therapies so that one standard drug is not prescribed for all patients. Instead, treatment is tailored to each patient's genetic profile, because even two people with, for example, lung cancer can have very different patterns of drug resistance. Designing targeted drugs for each individual can significantly improve treatment outcomes, reduce overall costs, and most importantly, increase hope for patients living with cancer.
We have a lot more to cover today, but first let's take a moment to catch up on the latest headlines.
Hello everyone, welcome to the news section of this program. Here we'll go over some important news headlines. Tehran Times: over 1,140 Iranians among world's 1% most cited researchers. A total of 1,142 Iranian researchers have been recognized among the world's top 1% most cited researchers in 2025, compared to 1,056 identified researchers in 2024, according to the Islamic World Science Citation Institute. The Ministry of Health, Treatment and Medical Education accounts for 52.77%, and the Ministry of Science, Research and Technology, with 427 researchers, represents 37.43% of the most cited Iranian researchers, ISCIIR reported. Clinical medicine with 446 entries, engineering with 209 entries, pharmacology and toxicology with 163 entries, chemistry with 140 entries, neuroscience and behavior with 115 entries, agriculture sciences with 100 entries, and social sciences with 77 entries held the highest shares of the most cited researchers. Three Iranian researchers have been among the highly cited award recipients. IRNA, Iran among top 20 countries in medical science output, ISC. Iran ranks among the top 20 countries in terms of medical science publications indexed in the Scopus and Web of Science databases in 2023, according to figures from the Islamic World Science Citation Center. Given the importance of the health and medical fields and the advancements made by Iran in these areas, the ISC has prepared a report on the scientific and technological outputs in this sector, as well as on the most cited researchers and the global rankings of Iranian medical universities, ISC head Ahmad Fazalzadeh said on Saturday. Fazalzadeh pointed out that in comparison of different subject areas and the Web of Science databases, Iranian medical and health researchers have 158,678 documents in their names and the second highest scientific output from the country after engineering, technology, and natural sciences. ISNA, Iran among top three in radiopharmaceuticals expands nuclear scanners nationwide. Iran has established its position as one of the world's top three producers of radiopharmaceuticals, with statistics showing a nationwide increase in nuclear medicine imaging systems across all 31 provinces, according to reports. Radiopharmaceuticals technology, one of the major achievements of modern medicine, has driven significant advancements in diagnosing and treating complex diseases such as cancer over recent decades. Currently, Iran produces 70 types of radiopharmaceuticals, meeting the needs of more than 6,500 nuclear medicine centers nationwide. The country also exports these products to 15 countries, generating around $70 million in revenue in 2025. As part of efforts to achieve self-sufficiency, a cyclotron has been installed and commissioned at a hospital in Tehran to produce radioisotopes used in PET imaging. Mehr. Iran ranks 17th in world in science production, Minister. Iran's Minister of Science, Research and Technology, Hossein Simoisarov, says that Iran is ranked 17th in the world in terms of production of the scientific articles. He made the remarks on the sidelines of the cabinet session on November 12th, where he emphasized that the country is at the 17th rank in the world in the field of science production. The minister promised that his ministry would take effective steps to promote the level of science production on the regional and international stage. And thank you for joining us in this section. Please do stay tuned for the main narrative.
Medical tourism has become another thriving industry. In 2024, nearly a million patients from 160 countries traveled to Iran for treatments ranging from infertility and cosmetic surgery to cardiac care, ophthalmology, and organ transplantation. Diako Abbasi, Secretary of the Health Tourism Council, explained how Iran has become a destination for health tourism.
Iran,
Over the past two decades, Iran has become one of the leading health tourism destinations in the region and even the world. This growth stems from our scientific and technological progress in medicine, the strong expertise of Iranian doctors in diverse specialities, Iran's strategic location near countries with serious healthcare challenges, and our shared cultural background and long medical tradition. All of this has helped make Iran a distinctive and attractive destination for health tourism.
The country also maintains one of the region's largest research networks, with 849 medical research centers. These laboratories fuel Iran's growing scientific partnerships abroad and boost its presence in global health diplomacy.
We currently have around 300 hospitals licensed to provide international health services, fully capable of admitting foreign patients at a professional level. Their staff receive cross-cultural training, and they have dedicated international patient departments that operate under official authorization. In addition, there are about 700 active health tourism offices and companies that handle medical visas as well as patients' accommodation, transfers, and specialized guidance during their stay.
In ophthalmology, Iranian hospitals offer services on par with the most advanced nations. The country no longer sends patients abroad for eye care. Instead, patients from neighboring countries come to Iran for surgery due to lower costs, modern equipment, and highly trained surgeons.
Last year, our medical centers admitted foreign patients from around 140 countries, which shows just how strong and promising Iran's health tourism market is. Most international patients come from cardiology and cardiovascular surgery, orthopedics, infertility treatment, transplants, ophthalmology and ENT procedures such as cochlear implants, as well as cosmetic and general surgeries. They travel from countries like Iraq, Afghanistan, Turkmenistan, the Persian Gulf states, even Saudi Arabia, as well as European countries such as the UK and Germany. We've also received patients from countries like India and even from the United States and Australia. Our data clearly show that Iran is now treating patients from across the world.
Before the victory of the Islamic Revolution, more than 11,000 Iranians were sent abroad each year for medical care. Today, the flow has reversed. The country has performed over 50,000 kidney transplants, around 7,000 heart transplants, and 225 pediatric heart transplants. Every month, roughly 80 million medical services are delivered across the country. In recent years, Iran has also joined the list of medical equipment exporters. Officials announced at the Iran Health 2025 exhibition that Iranian-made medical technology is now shipped to more than 60 countries. More than 17,000 medical technologies have been registered inside Iran, and many are already on the global market. From vital sign monitors and defibrillators to dental and laboratory equipment, as well as precision surgical tools. Mr. Kompany also elaborated on the export of Iranian medical equipment products.
As we are meeting all the standards, international standards of the medical equipment for our product, as the MOH has based on that. So we now have a very good quality devices and also the disposables in the country. So we have no problem for that, and we are exporting about to 40 countries, and we are earning a lot of money among this exporting. And also, we have our own production line in different countries, and by doing the rebranding, by the cooperation of the local agents and our companies in Iran, we have about in countries like Indonesia, Turkey, Iraq, Sweden.
About 65% of Iran's medical device industry is powered by knowledge-based companies, many of which born in universities and science parks. This pipeline of engineers and researchers has allowed Iran to develop high-tech devices such as AI-enhanced MRI machines, portable imaging units, and remote patient monitoring systems.
And there we have the Iranian ICU, which we have the ventilator, the special beds, the patient care monitoring system, and the gas supply. And as I told you during the corona, all this set was equipped from the local manufacturer, so we didn't have problem. And the price was very attractive because at the corona, many countries has to pay 10 times, 8 times of the real price of the ventilator, but here this unit was given to the MOH for 7,000 euro. But we had many offers from other companies like 50,000, 70,000, 40,000, different prices, but 6,000 of this unit was bought for only at the price of the 7,000 euro, which was very good. And now the real price in the world is about 10,000 to 12,000 euro.
Exports of medical equipment surpassed $500 million in 2024 and are projected to reach about $650 million by the end of 2025. West Asian and African countries are the largest buyers. The appeal? Iranian devices typically cost 30 to 40% less than their European counterparts, but offer comparable precision and reliability.
The quality is very good because they are meeting all these standards, international standards, and of course the price. Mm-hmm. For example, this operation room, the general operation room you see here, if you want to buy from a top brand company, European or American, you have to pay at least $200,000 to $300,000 US dollar. But here you can get it for $70,000. So you see the different price.
And is it the same quality? So
it is.
You get the same quality, but for a lower price.
Of course, of course. This is our advantage to enter into the market in international markets. So by having the people outside to cooperate with us, we will very soon will be anywhere in the world for the manufacturing of medical equipment and rebranding it.
Years after the victory of the Islamic Revolution, Iran's healthcare system continues to grow. Through decades of expansion, from hospitals and clinics in major cities to health centers in the most remote villages, the promise of equitable healthcare has been largely realized. And for millions of people across the country, that promise has become a lived reality. That's all for today. Until next time, take care.
First methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, ista'inu bis sabri was salah.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar,
a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear audience of IRIB English Radio, Salamun Alaikum. Now it's time to listen to a short speech by Sheikh Osama Abdul Ghani.
Assalamu alaikum jamian wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I begin in the name of Allah, the most kind, the most merciful. It's due to that kindness and mercy that we have these opportunities where we gather in remembrance and glorification of Him, Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And when we look at the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in numerous verses give us the attributes of those who are considered to be sadiq or sadiqa. And so let's just look at two verses in particular. And we'll describe the intricacies of it in after we read them. The first verse is a famous verse from Surah Al-Baqarah, verse number 177. Allah Azza wa Jal says, لَيْسَ الْبِرَّ أَن تُوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ قِبَلِ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ. Finish the verse when you know it. Yeah? He says, birr, righteousness, is not when you just turn your face towards the east and the west. That means you're just on the musalla. So that's not how your piety is gauged, right? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالْكِتَابِ وَالنَّبِيِّينَ. But true righteousness is for the one who believes in Allah, the last day, the angels and the books and the prophet. وَآتَ مَالَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ ذَوِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَابْنَ السَّبِيلِ وَالسَّائِلِينَ وَفِي الرِّقَابِ. And he says, and additionally, they give their wealth in spite of their love for it. SubhanAllah. Yeah? We talked about this on Thursday, right? It's amazing how it tied in, but وَآتَ الْمَالْ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ. Yeah, this he, this pronoun of ha goes back to the mal. That means give wealth, even though you love wealth. Yeah? But Allah says that's how righteousness is earned. You know, yesterday, on Thursday, we talked about the fact that when Allah talks about, I think we looked at the 47th chapter, the last three verses of Surah Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Where we said, Allah said, I'm guiding you to the truth, but I'm not going to charge you for this service, though I'm inviting you to give money in the sake of Allah. Yeah, that was like Allah is saying, I'm not going to charge you, but I'm inviting you to give. Right? Why? Because true success, like that, you know, like, I'm sure we've all felt this, that in our spiritual journey, sometimes we hit a wall. Yeah, and we're like, man, why am I hitting a wall? Right? And I keep hitting the same wall. Sometimes people will just back away from that wall and think they have crossed the wall when in fact they're just retreating, right? Because progress towards God is either forward or backward. It's not standstill, right? And so sometimes when we are not progressing and we're not hitting that wall anymore, we're thinking we're progressing because I'm not hitting at that wall, but I'm actually backing up, right? We have to break through that wall. You will feel yourself break through that wall. And sometimes and from that verse and from this verse, what we understand is that hammer or that chisel that will break the wall is the willingness to give money for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's that love that mankind has for wealth that if I am willing to give it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will notice yourself break through that wall that is kept stopping. Trust this. Trust God. Yeah, there are 100 ways to be generous. Right? Time, money, time, wealth, knowledge, whatever. But the one that will help us break through that wall of limitation is money, giving money, because mankind loves money, right? And again, the quantity is not important. Just the willingness to give is what's important. And so Allah says that piety is given or is earned, وَآتَ الْمَالِ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ, though they love the wealth, to ذَوِي الْقُرْبَى, to those of your relatives, وَالْيَتَامَى, orphans, masakin, the poor, وَابْنُ السَّبِيلِ, those who are stranded when traveling, وَالسَّعِلِينَ, and those who ask for money, وَفِي الرِّقَابِ, and for those, and to free slaves, they give this money. Then God says, piety then is, وَأَقَامَ الصَّلَىٰ وَآتَ الزَّكَىٰ, after all these things, then to establish your prayer. So that's, God is not looking at whether we pray or not as the only measure. But after all of these things he mentions, now he talks about prayer, because we can't say then I might as well not pray and just give. Yeah, God says still, prayer is important. وَقَامَ الصَّلَاةِ and that they give zakah, وَالْمُوفُونَ بِأَهْدِهِمْ and when they speak, they don't break their promises. When they make a commitment, they fulfill their commitment. وَالْمُوفُونَ بِأَهْدِهِمْ إِذَا أَهَدُوا وَالصَّابِرِينَ فِي الْبَأْسَاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ وَحِينَ الْبَأْسِ and they are patient in times of hardships and difficulties and during battle. After all of that description, that this is how you attain piety, God then says, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا. They are the people who are truthful. Yeah? That means truthfulness, subhanAllah. Yeah? How God describes it, it's not just me speaking the truth. But I need to do all of these things for me to be considered a sadiq or a sadiqa in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Amazing, isn't it? Yeah? In another verse of the Quran in Surah Hujarat, Allah Azza wa Jal says in verse 15, Innamal mu'minuna alladhina amanu billahi wa rasule. That indeed the believers are those who believe in Allah and His Prophet. Thumma lam yartabu. Then they don't doubt in what came after that. Again, this is really important, right? That then I don't say, but I get to interpret how to follow this religion. No, you believed in God. Yeah? You believed in the Messenger. Then it's not up to you to decide how you will interpret this religion. You don't get a chance to be doubtful and say, I'm going to pick and choose. Again, he's describing mu'minun, right? And then Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَجَاهَدُوا بِأَمْوَالِهِمْ وَأَنفُسِهِمْ and they strive with their wealth and with their souls فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الصَّادِقُونَ. They are the people who are truthful. And so when we break this down, just for the sake of more clarity, right? That when we talk about trying to attain the status of siddiq, right? To be a sadiq or to be a sadiqa, God says what? Number one, you have to have belief. Belief in Allah, His Messenger, the Prophet, the last day, the books that came. But iman on itself is insufficient. You have to back that iman up with action. It has to be backed up with action. And the kind of action that God expects is what? That we are generous with our wealth, we are generous with our time, we fulfill the obligations that God has laid upon us, we are truthful in speech, when we make a promise, we keep it, when we are patient, when we come through difficulty, and we constantly strive, try to become better every single day. When we fulfill all of these things, that is when God places the label of being a sadiq or a sadiqa upon us. It's really interesting. So if you flip it, right, and let's say I believe in God, but then I'll be like, you know what, I can't do the beard. Yeah, I believe in God, but I can't do the hijab. I believe in God, but I'm not ready for this or I'm not ready for that. You know, if I am not a sadiq, then what am I? A kadhib. Yeah, understand, this is not a small thing. Yeah. If I'm not a truthful person, then by default, I'm a liar. Yeah? Not in the way God looks at it. Yes, how He treats us, that's up to His mercy. But from the label perspective, if ulaika humus sadiqun, then one who does not do these things, ulaika humul kathibun. Yeah? That they are liars. They say they do one thing, but they do something else. And this should be heavy on us, right? This should be something that we worry about. Then am I considered to be a truthful person in the eyes of God, or am I considered to be a liar in the eyes of God? Now obviously, like, so this would be a level, right? So you're looking at a Muslim and a mu'min, and then between having iman and yaqeen, there are different levels that we hit to try to attain that certainty. Sidq comes in that. Now, naturally, it's not easy to become a sadiq. We just listed all of these things. Subhanallah, right? It's exhausting just talking about it, right? But we have a responsibility to strive for it. And because it is not easy, God does tempt us with the reward.
The mother of Imma, Ya Fatima, the mother of Imma, Ya Fatima,
You are the Sayyidatun Nisa. God made you the center of Kisa. By your name the sinners get Shifa.
On that fearful day to Allah we'll pray. Raise us with a Zahra we shall say.
On that fearful day to Allah we'll pray. Raise us with a Zahra we shall say.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
Quran Quest, a program on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Quran Quest on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sayyid Abdullah, my guest speaker, who always accept my invitation to come to the studio and answers my Quranic questions. Assalamu alaikum, Sayyid, and welcome to the program.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, and thank you for having me.
You're welcome. We have been discussing together, and you shed some light on some of the points and concepts I raised regarding the 23rd chapter of the Quran. I mean, Suratul Mu'minun, or chapter The Faithful, or The Believers. And God talks about the qualities of the believers and then goes on to the story of the creation. And we have reached the part where God talks about death and resurrection, right? So this is basically the background to our series of discussions on this particular chapter of the Quran, I mean Suratul Mu'minun. In order for us actually to continue our program, let's take a listen to a few verses of this chapter, Suratul Mu'minun, or chapter The Faithful, and then when we come back, we continue our program, Quran Quest, on IRIB English Radio. Stay with us.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
In the name of Allah, the entire